And now we're joined by Rob Rang. He's from NFLDraftScout.com and the Sports Exchange. Of course, we talked to Dane Brugler earlier in the week. We promoted his draft guide. It is right here. They call it the Beast. It's fantastic. Check it out. That's Dane's work. And, Rob, you're just as wonderful doing draft stuff as Dane is. And I've been looking at your guide and checking it out. And the funny thing about it, every year there's a team that's kind of at the fulcrum, almost, of the draft. And what they do will decide how the rest of the first round goes. And lo and behold, I think that's where we are with the New York Football Giants in 2018. And I was just talking to Lance Meadow the other day on our show about this. And from my perspective, at least, they've done a wonderful job of keeping teams guessing. And no one around the league seems to know what the Giants are going to do. Is that your sense, talking to your contacts around the league as well?
It very much is. I think that, I've talked to a couple of different, high-ranking scouts, general managers even, and they all kind of acknowledge, hey, they know Dave Gettleman. They've been following him for years, know him personally. They have no idea what the Giants are going to do at number two overall. And, obviously, with all due respect to the Cleveland Browns having the number one overall pick, and at least right now the number four overall pick as well, you would think that the Browns would be running this draft. But really, the belief out there is that the Giants basically are going to control what happens on draft day because, of course, Cleveland is expected to take a quarterback at one. And then what New York decides to do at number two, whether they go with the pass rusher like Bradley Chubb, the running back Saquon Barkley, go with the young quarterback, then either way, that is going to set the stage for what's going to happen the whole rest of the draft.
And, Rob, I'll get to the Browns in a second because that's going to impact the Giants, obviously. But I think that uncertainty that Dave Gettleman has made sure is out there with his selection probably makes the chances that he'll get a big offer to trade down probably a little bit greater, right? Because teams aren't sure what he's going to do. Is he going to pick the quarterback? Then maybe a team has to trade up. What do you think the possibility is somebody backs up the truck here for the Giants at two, whether it's the Bills, the Broncos, or some other team that maybe I'm not even thinking of?
Well, I think that's certainly a possibility. I think what very much helps the Giants' position is the fact that there are so many quarterbacks in this draft class, and so there is going to be so much intrigue. Everybody's going to have their own opinion of who the top-rated quarterback is, and so that certainly helps. And then as well at the defensive end position I mentioned before with Bradley Chubb, if say, a team is eager to get another pass rusher, then they have to react aggressively in this draft class because while there is very good depth at quarterback, there is very good depth at running back, there is no depth at defensive end. If you want a pass rusher, then you've got a potential Pro Bowler sitting there looking at you and Bradley Chubb likely to be available at number two overall. And so it would be Chubb or one of those quarterbacks is why I believe that there is going to be a significant number of teams that are going to be talking to the Giants about possibly moving up. We saw the expected cost of business with what the Jets gave up to move up to number three overall from number six, and that, of course, wound up being 3 second-round selections.
Yeah.
So I think that the Giants are going to be willing to ask for the moon, and they just may very well get that. That said, I think that the Giants are, because Dave Gettleman has always believed in, when you're drafting this high, you want to have an immediate impact player. I have a hard time believing the Giants would be willing to move too far out of the top 5, 6, 7, 8, and that might be why a team like, say, the Buffalo Bills, who many are projecting as a possible trade partner, that maybe Buffalo wouldn't be quite the fit for the Giants to trade out number two overall, if indeed that was an offer given to them.
Yeah, I happen to agree with you. Maybe they would have to go get the Colts pick and then move up again, but I think then the math on that with getting enough picks to do it becomes very, very tricky. I agree. I think it's tough. All right, again, putting the Browns aside for a second, if the Giants decide that they're going position player at two and they don't have anybody backing up the truck, and you're looking at Quentin Nelson and Saquon Barkley, who I think most people agree, and I do as well, that they're probably the two highest graded players in this draft, and then you have Bradley Chubb, the three players that I think people think are realistically in the mix at two. How do you measure the position value of defensive end and the scarcity at defensive end, like you just mentioned in your last answer, with the high grades but also maybe a lower position value and better depth in this draft at running back and guard?
Well, very, very carefully is the easy answer on that. You know, I just really think that it comes down to, as you just mentioned, the depth at the other positions. I mean, the fact that running back is so strong, with all due respect to Saquon Barkley, he is an incredible talent. He is going to come into the NFL, and I believe that he is going to have the same type of immediate impact that we've seen with top 10 rated or running backs, drafted in the top 10 in the last several years, whether it be Leonard Fournette, Ezekiel Elliott, Todd Gurley, whatever name that you want. And those all three of those backs wound up very much justifying their early selections and helping their teams compete immediately. And we've had previous conversations where I believe that the Giants are significantly more talented than most of the other teams selecting in the top 10. So there's a lot of reasons to believe that Saquon Barkley, you can take him. He's the easy pick in this draft, basically. You take him, you plug him into an offense that already has a lot of talent around it, and the Giants' offense goes from being one of the least effective a year ago to certainly one of the more effective, and I would argue that it's going to have the best skill position talent of any offense in the NFC East, and that obviously is saying a great deal considering the Super Bowl champions are playing this division. So that makes a lot of sense to me. At the same time, I still believe that the best player for the Giants, for any team selecting in the top five that needs any type of help and pass rusher, and let's face it, they all do, that the safe play is Bradley Chubb. I mean, in terms of his positional versatility, having played linebacker before as well as defensive end, you see the athletic ability, you see the size, the strength, the use of hands. He is a more technically sound and polished player right now than Myles Garrett was a year ago. And so I certainly believe that he should be in play for the Giants at number two. And I have a hard time imagining any scenario in which that Bradley Chubb is not among the top four selections unless there is a significant trade out. And if you look at the Quentin Nelson, if you look at Saquon Barkley, I'm not quite as confident in saying that Saquon Barkley or Quentin Nelson are definitely going to go in the top four. I do see scenarios that way. But with Bradley Chubb, I think he's going to go in the top four, and that's why I think when it's all said and done, if no one does indeed back the truck up, as you mentioned, that I think the Giants stand pat number two and that Bradley Chubb is most likely to be their selection number two overall.
Rob, are you buying the smoke? Are the Browns really considering taking Josh Allen over Sam Darnold?
There is a lot of smoke out there, and some of it is coming from me, frankly, because I have been told that from some of some of my sources in Cleveland, that they are very intrigued by what Josh Allen brings. Now, I don't know that would be the case if the Cleveland Browns had not already made the trade for Tyrod Taylor. They feel like they have a starting caliber quarterback in place right now, and they can use this draft to build around him, including the young quarterback. Well, of course, we saw an example of this a year ago with the Chicago Bears in making their big move for Mike Glennon and, of course, taking Mitchell Trubisky. That said, in my own eyes, I see Josh Allen as a possible top 10 pick if you're willing to buy into all of his upside. Sam Darnold, in my opinion, is the top-rated quarterback in this draft class, should be the first quarterback selected. If you want to go with a playmaker like a Baker Mayfield, I can at least understand that argument. If you want to go with a more polished passer in Josh Rosen, again, I can understand that argument. For me, the top quarterback in this draft class has been and has always been Sam Darnold, and that's who I would select. But at the same time, there is a number of different opinions on this year's quarterback class. I've talked to clubs that have Josh Rosen as the top quarterback. I've talked to clubs that have Baker Mayfield, clubs that have Josh Allen, and most of them have Sam Darnold. I still believe the most likely scenario is Sam Darnold goes number one to the Cleveland Browns. But Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield, I believe that they are still in play. And so there's a possibility that you're going to have a quarterback who I believe is a top-rated passer in the Giants board, Sam Darnold, still be on the board at number two overall.
And, boy, would that be interesting, because if trucks are ever going to get backed up, and they're going to get backed up because Darnold's on the board, or do the Giants love him so much they have to take him? And, boy, I would love to have my head in that war room if that decision has to get made. You mentioned Josh Rosen. How much do you think teams around the league are worried about the two concussions and his health issues? Is that primarily, you think, what's keeping him from being a number one quarterback on most boards, or is it the attitude stuff that some people are throwing out there? Because to me, the injuries scare me, because as an NFL team, that's something I can't control. And when there's something you can't control, that's terrifying. How much are teams worried about the injuries with Rosen?
I think that they're very, very concerned about it. It's not only the fact that he has had these concussions and had the shoulder injuries and things of that nature. It's the fact that he plays with a little bit of a almost a confidence, but almost a brazenness with his style of play. He doesn't protect his body very well. He does have a little bit of a weaker frame. And I have to give him credit. He came in heavier than I expected, taller than I expected at the combine. But having watched him in person and having watched just kind of the way he's built, he has narrow wrists and ankles, and that's usually a sign of maybe he may struggle to add weight. And, you know, we talked about the leadership and the attitude and things of that nature. Sometimes that just gets kind of pushed off like that's nothing. It's not so much that, you know, that Josh Rosen is willing to give a tasty quote or things of that nature. It's the fact that he didn't come from an environment where he had to work hard. He did come from money. He has come from a very successful family and things of that nature. And so there is just a belief among some scouts I've spoken to who don't believe that he has that eye of the tiger, so to speak, that he is the guy that you want leading your team, late in a ball game. I mean, he comes from a family that was into ice skating and tennis and things of that nature. Not to disparage those two sports in any way, but they are obviously individual sports. They are not something that's team related. And so when you have conversations with some of Josh Rosen's ex-coaches, some of the ex-players that he played with at the high school level, the college level, there are some concerns that way. And of course, as you mentioned, you know, teams want to be able to control things. Just like they can't control a player's medical history or his body type, they can't control his personality. And there are some red flags of Josh Rosen, and that's why I believe that as polished of a passer as he is, that he is the quarterback. He could wind up slipping a little bit on draft day.
Rob, where do you think Rashawn Evans is going to drop in this draft class? Because the Giants need linebackers. He's a guy that's rushed the passer from linebacker. He's played off the ball. I think he'd be an interesting Swiss Army knife for James Betcher's scheme that likes to move his linebackers around. Do you think he could still be on the board at 34 overall in round number two? You think he's definitely a first-round pick?
I think that he's most likely to be a first-round pick. I agree with you wholeheartedly that he'd be a terrific fit in New York. I mean, just his versatility. And I still believe that Evans is a player who is on the rise. I mean, of course, he didn't wind up becoming a full-time starter until this past season. But that's more of a reflection of the talent that Alabama had at linebacker, of course. But, you know, because he was used in such a variety of roles, you mentioned the blitzing, also being asked to drop back into coverage. He's one of the true three-down linebackers in this draft class. And in my opinion, there's really only about four of them, and I expect them all to go in the top 34 selections. So not only Evans, but of course Roquan Smith and Tremaine Edmonds, but then also Leighton Van Der Esch. And because there have been a few concerns about Leighton Van Der Esch, the terrific linebacker from Boise State who, like Evans, really exploded this past the 2017 season and made himself a first-round prospect, because there have been some medical questions about him. Some are concerned about his neck, a prior injury with him. Oh. And I think that he might still be available at number 34 overall. But I have talked to a couple of clubs up there, and they say, no, medically he's fine, he's going to be good. Because there's potentially a little bit of concern with him, I think that Leighton Van Der Esch, as much as I like him, that he might be the linebacker who's potentially available at number 34 overall. I'd be surprised if Evans is still on the clock. If either one of them are available, I think that they make a lot of sense for the Giants, number 34.
Interesting. I didn't hear about any medical concerns for Van Der Esch. That's new for me. I'll have to keep an eye on that one, Rob. Other options top of round number two for the Giants. They need some corner help. They don't really have a guy that's played slot at a high level the last few years. William Gay was a veteran addition, but he lost that job last year to somebody mid-year. Who do you think could be available and sitting there top of round two, or even top of round three, if you think that's a better fit that the Giants could add at the corner position?
Well, one of the corners I don't think is getting enough attention is Isaiah Oliver from Colorado. Now, he is more of an outside press guy. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, he does have some experience fighting inside. Dante Jackson from LSU, of course, the fastest man at the combine, was, he is a guy who has the experience playing in the nickel role and has that straight line speed. And again, I talked about it before, that if the Giants were to go with a Saquon Barkley at number two overall, then the Giants would then have, in my opinion, the best set of skill position players in the division. at the same time, this is still a very talented division when it comes to wide receivers and quarterbacks. And so I agree. I think that nickel corner is a potential area of concern. And if you can have a guy that can run 4.32,
yeah,
or in the 4.3s in his sleep, the way that John Zay Jackson proudly said that he could do, then I think that that makes a lot of sense as well. So if you're looking for a plug-and-play type of guy that is experienced, is physical, Isaiah Oliver, Carlton Davis from Auburn would be another one that I think fit in well with what New York is looking to do. If you're looking specifically more to that nickel corner and you want a guy who is still – you know, has the potential to improve, then Dante Jackson Ellis, who is a corner who has a lot of buzz around him right now, and because of his position versatility, played inside, played outside at corner, as well as safety at LSU, and the Tigers' track record of producing consistently NFL-caliber defensive backs, that's why Dante Jackson is the guy to keep in mind for early day two as well.
Of the interior offensive linemen that we expect to go between 15 and 30, and I'm going to throw Isaiah Wynn, Will Hernandez, James Daniels, Billy Price, all those four guys into the mix here. Which one of those four, if any, and I'll even throw Connor Williams into the mix too, why not, who some people think will have to move into guard. Of those five, who do you think has the best chance of being there at 34?
I think probably Will Hernandez, because he's viewed as just a guard. Whereas other, you know, Billy Price, James Daniels, they have they're athletic enough to either play guard, as Billy Price did at Ohio State, or project a guard. In at least my opinion, James Daniels has that ability, and he is going to be more fundamentally sound after working with Kirk Ferentz, of course, at the University of Iowa. You know, Connor Williams and, you know, his questions about can he make that move inside the guard, that's a little bit of a transition, and hasn't been asked to do that just yet. You know, and I think that his ability to play tackle and did so at a high level is going to put him in the first round.
I agree.
You know, so all those guys. But Will Hernandez, on the other hand, you know, as much as I love him, he's one of my favorite players in this draft class. 4-year starter at UTEP, and it didn't matter the fact that the Miners wound up not winning a single game a year ago. You wouldn't know it with the way that Hernandez played and competed. I love his strength. I love his frame. I think that he is a plug-and-play left guard. But at the same time, because that's all he is, because he does have that short blocking frame and roughly 6'2 and a half, 335 pounds, with shorter the arms than ideal, then, you know, you don't know that you're necessarily going to be able to get a difference maker that's actually going to be able to translate into more victories for your team. As I mentioned, UTEP didn't win a single game a year ago. So at number 34 overall, if I had to pick one of those five, I think that Will Hernandez slipping out of the first round and being among the first 5 to 8 selections of the second round, that would be the bet I would be making.
Rob, you're great at identifying late-round sleepers. Give me 1, 2, 3 names, day 3, that you really like that you think might be a little underrated and a team can get a steal in rounds 4 through 7.
Well, you know, for me, I mean, saying sleeper is like kind of like telling a teacher to pick out your favorite team. You know, I mean, it's a little bit difficult being, because I think of, well, I hear sleeper, and I think I just kind of go by position. So I can just kind of give you, you know, certain positions where I like players. And I mentioned before, I think the depth in this year's class at quarterback and running back is spectacular. So one of the quarterbacks that I'm very high on is Mike White from Western Kentucky. I think that he is a guy that would be absolutely earning top 100 buzz consistently. He would just be a shoe-in to be a top 100 pick in a normal draft class. But because we may have as many as 6 quarterbacks come off the board in the first round, then Mike White might wind up sliding down the board a little bit. So Western Kentucky over the last couple of years was very successful there. Saw him at the Senior Bowl. He has the arm. He's 6'5", 230 pounds. He has the size that you're looking for. And so he is a quarterback that I believe is a potentially a future starter.
Wow.
That you might be able to get on day 3. As far as running backs, there's a whole bunch of them, but I'm going to focus in on some of the bigger backs of this draft class, because generally speaking, that's where you have to invest early on. If you're going to get a big back, the Kalen Ballage from Arizona State is a running back that I feel like has the traits, the explosiveness, the speed, the size, 6'1", 230 pounds, running in the low 4.5s. And then had like I believe it's a 38-plus inch vertical jump. Really shows the explosiveness that he provides. And even it's not very often you can accurately say that an Alabama player could be a sleeper. But Bo Scarborough, people forget about him, yeah. You know what I mean? But he has that type of size as well. And so he's a really intriguing player. So those are some of the guys that's why I believe that you can opt to go in a different direction other than skill positions, other than quarterbacks or running backs in the top five, because on day three, there's a lot more of them that have starting caliber traits.
Rob, great stuff. Now just give me your prediction for the Giants, round one and two, what you think they'll do, and then who you would pick if you were making the pick. Your prediction first.
Well, I would go with Bradley Chubb, number two overall. I think that's the direction that the Giants ultimately are going to go into. I mean, once they made the decision to trade away Jason Pierre-Paul, I thought the writing was on the wall. This is a club that you're going to want to find an immediate impact player, and that obviously fills a position of concern. You look at the teams in the division, and that's where I think that the Giants can attack them best. So I would have Bradley Chubb, number two overall. And then we mentioned before, Will Hernandez. I think that he is in play, but I'm going to go outside and go with a running back. If Nick Chubb is available at number 34 overall, I think that you can now erase your concerns about the running back position and still get a player who has the athletic ability, the toughness, and the size that fits in with what Dave Gettleman certainly has built his teams around in the past. So that would be Bradley Chubb in the first round, and then Nick Chubb, the cousin, in the second round. As far as the players that I think that I would select, I would go with one of the young quarterbacks. I think that you're very rarely going to be in a position to select one of those quarterbacks. We talked about this before. I would love to have been in the interview room and have these conversations with the Josh Rosen. Assuming Sam Darnold goes number one overall, I believe that Josh Rosen has all of the physical traits you're looking for to be a young franchise quarterback. I think back years ago, and I know I'm mixing my sports here, but I grew up a little bit of a basketball fan. And I remember the San Antonio Spurs when they had David Robinson, the great center, go down to injury, and that put them in position to select number one overall Tim Duncan. And they paired those two twin towers together and obviously won themselves some championships. I look at the Giants being sort of a similar situation here, that they obviously have a terrific quarterback in Eli Manning, potential Hall of Fame quarterback there. But if you are not going to be in position very often to select a young franchise quarterback, so that's why I would take a quarterback. If Sam Darnold is available, he would be my pick. It would take multiple first-round picks for me to consider trading out of that opportunity to select my young quarterback. If not, Josh Rosen would be my selection at number two overall. And then at the top of the second round, again, I might consider a running back like a Bradley Chubb, just because if you're going with a young quarterback, then you're under the belief that you're not likely to be playing him the first season. So I definitely would want an immediate impact type of player in the second round. That would be one of those two Georgia running backs, in my opinion, either Nick Chubb or Sony Michel. Both of them, I think, hit the ground running and help New York maintain that offensive identity that they've had in the past.
Rob, great stuff. We always enjoy your work. Thank you for being a friend of the program during draft season. Thanks so much. Get back to work, and we will talk to you down the road, all right?
Sounds great. Thanks, John.
That's Rob Ryan, NFL Draft Scout, .com and Sports Exchange. He joins us right now on Big Blue Kickoff Live. We thank Paul Dottino, who was with me earlier, and thank you to the callers and our other guests. We'll see you tomorrow on Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com. Lance Meadow and Jeff Fiegels return, and then we have Dave Gettleman's press conference as well. Make sure you stay tuned. We'll see you then. Have a great day.